get going properly. But you don't, so you don't need a massive band. In fact, all you need really, what's the minimum you need, you reckon? Two musos?
I think at Christmas 1 year we managed with one lead singer.
Okay, right.
Piano.
Yeah, he had a piano as well. Yeah. Well, really, ultimately, you probably don't even need a piano, or a singer would be fine. There are lots of churches up in Scotland who still hold to something called regulative principle. It is their principle that you just have a singer, and they'll have maybe a tuning fork, and they'll go ding, and off they go and start to sing. So you just need a singer, and that'll do. Anything else is a bonus. If you've got a piano player, that's a bonus. That's nice, and a guitar player as well. Guitar and piano, they're great instruments to be able to use, and organ as well a little bit. But an organ, a piano or a guitar are great because they can both do the full range of chords and notes, and they can also do the rhythm as well. And guitar particularly is excellent because you're often facing and it's quite demonstrative. It's a great instrument, I think. I've probably learned more about leading a congregation from guitarists than I was trained as an organ scholar, like through the cathedrals, all that sort of stuff. And I didn't learn much about leading a congregation then. I just learned about performing in a church setting. But guitarists, I think, particularly have taught me so much about leading a congregation because it's all about the rhythm rather than what's on the page. That's hugely important. It's nearly all about the rhythm. It's nearly all about the groove. Okay, so a couple of things on leading the congregation. Clarity in congregation and confidence. Clarity, first of all, someone clearly needs to be in charge. They need to be in charge. The worst rehearsals are those that when everyone chips in and they all think, they've all listened to YouTube clips and they said this is how the song should go. And instead, a leader of the rehearsal, like I was talking about being prepared, needs to come with a really good idea of the groove, so how, what the song's going to feel like, the speed, rhythm, a really clear idea of intros, so that as you rehearse, the congregation knows when to come in. And similarly, the links in between the verses, they're quite like intros as well, so that people know when to come in. And then how the song is going to end. That's less important, but if you get that wrong, just people start to giggle, and that's a bit of a distraction. Most important thing is the intros. And then leader will also need to sort out things like dynamics of verses, who's going to play when, are they going to come in and out, what key the song's going to be in, all those sorts of things. And I mean, it's nice that you don't want to be absolutely set in stone. Sometimes I'm there early for a rehearsal and a guitarist, I'll hear them warming up and they'll look at one of the songs on the music stand and I'll hear them practicing and I'll go, oh, that sounds really nice. So I'll just say to them, actually, could you start with that as an intro? And we don't need to be dictators, but when it comes to the rehearsal, someone clearly needs to be in charge so that you can be efficient during the rehearsal. I always make sure we pray at the start. People have different thoughts about what you do on the spiritual side of things. I think it's important to pray, at least because then we're focusing our eyes and our hearts on the fact that, first of all, God has served us and that we're serving each other. Some people like to do a Bible slot as well. I tend not to because I'm trying to make sure that all the musicians are in a small group somewhere and that I'm not responsible for them spiritually. That's probably, it's a good model, I think, that someone else is doing that. But a verse maybe, I don't know, totally up to you. No rules, but as long as we're well prepared and that someone's in charge, that is good. And it means that then if someone comes up with a totally daft idea, so, oh, I saw this thing on YouTube, can we do that? You can say, oh, thanks very much, but why don't we try that next time? This is what we're gonna do this time. And that's okay. And I think it's another good way to teach that they're serving the Lord and his people, and they're not coming to rehearsal with what they want to do and how they want to do it. Okay, other stuff on clarity. Keep it simple, honestly keep it simple. The simple the better. We don't need to be professional. We don't need to make a mess of it either, but simple is always better. Clarity gives us a simple tune, simple chords, and a tight rhythm. If you've got those, even if it's a quiet song, if it's really confident, then we're okay. So on to confidence. If the musicians in your rehearsal, if you can get confidence in your musicians that one person is in control and that the band is in control, then that you've got a clear tune, it's simplified, the rhythms are clear, and the intro is really, really clear, then the musicians will be confident and the singer will be confident, and then the congregation will be confident as well. So it all comes down to clarity and confidence. So here we go. Here's giving confidence to the singers, first of all. Of course, the main singers we want to sing confidently are the congregation out there. They're the main voice. We're just serving. They're the main voice, and we're part of the congregation, if you like. And that's important as well. If we're part of a band, we're not playing maybe at one point. If we're singing as well, that means that we're not the professionals helping everyone else. We are singing along with the congregation. That is good. But one of the ways we can give real confidence to the congregation is through the ones leading the singing. If the singers aren't confident with the links between verses, intros and outros, then the congregation will be less confident as well. So again, we act like a mirror. If the singer is confident, then it's going to be okay out there. And it's a hard balance to get, I think. And it's all about the intros. It is all about the intros. Okay, so if you've got, how long do you get to rehearse, you guys?
Forty-five minutes,
and you leave how long for people to chat before the service, or do you rehearse right up to the end?
We try and finish rehearsing at 10:30, so that there's time for people to be, chatting.
To try and leave half an hour.
Yeah.
You leave half an hour.
To chat.
Okay.
So people are coming in from 10:30.
Yeah. So you have 45 minutes, and then you leave half an hour. That is great. That's brilliant. That's awesome. Okay, yeah.
And particularly now we've gone back to doing 5 songs. I don't think, so, like, for me, lots of that preparation isn't happening from my side.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of this is very helpful in terms of coming ready. I'm being frank, we typically haven't named leaders. We've kind of, it's been a bit more sort of, so I think there's already a lot of things that are helpful in terms of, I think we'll make it sometimes less stressful.
Yeah.
Just for some of the songs.
And presumably you don't start on the dot of 1:45.
No,
right, okay. So that means that people are late.
Yeah.
So you need to sort that out. Honestly, guys, there's a way you can serve each other, and you can do a good job by serving each other by being on time, because then when you turn up 1:45, you need to pray, and that's going to take up time as well. So just think ahead. Who are we serving? You can get here on time. Serve each other in that way, and come prepared. That's good.
With the intro
symbol, yeah.
You don't do this actually, Andy, just to know there's the reason for it. But when I helped to run the music at Euston, the worship at Euston.
you can say worship.
I'll never be asked to help again. We used to actually have all the intros written out on the music, so you get any sheet of music out, any song out, you don't have to fix the intro, it's already set. You can tinker with it if you wanted to, it's already set in stone. Is there a reason why you don't do that as a talent, or is it just...
It changes every week. I mean, that's great, that's really well prepared. I'm not that well prepared, so that is excellent.
That's just purely because Leo spent the summer sitting down and writing them all.
Right, yeah. And some people like that.
I tend to go, hi, so this is the intro that's always been in my head, and the congregation will know, I'll sing it to you, can we do that?
Yeah.
Which is...
But you could always, like Mike, write it in biro on a sheet, and then the next time you come, it's there, and you can change it. That saves some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll notice I'm going to give you a sheet in a little bit. There's rough intros written out, but nearly always I change them. I just changed an intro this last week to one of these songs on your sheet, just to make it simpler. And sometimes if I'm doing a song in the morning, I'll do a different intro to the song to the way I do it in the evening. It's a different set of people. That's my excuse for not being as prepared as but I like to be as flexible as I can, I think, for the situation. However, I still will come clear on what intros are going to happen for each song for each service. Great. Okay, let's talk about intros. This is your big thing, and we're going to spend most of our time on intros. And in the rehearsal as well, as Campbell will know, at the end of our rehearsal, we'll spend the last few minutes going from the end song to the first song, doing every intro over again. And that's a couple of reasons. First of all, it means if you do it in reverse order, then all the music's in the right order. Always assume that everyone's stupid. So when they come to their music stand, oh, it's there. Oh, how did that happen? Well, it's because it was in reverse order. So, and then we'll do every intro and finishing with the first song, so the first song is right in people's memories, and it's the first song, it's ready to go. Right, okay, doing intros. And I think you've got a song on there, You're the Word of God the Father. I've got some music here. Right, okay, I'm gonna do a bad intro to You're the Word of God the Father, first of all. Okay, here's a professional, I'm not a professional pianist, but here's a pianist intro to You're the Word of God the Father. See if you can come in. Why aren't you coming in? That's great. I'm showing you I can play arpeggios, right? Okay, that's right. And you didn't come in. Okay, a couple of things with that. Well, yeah, what were the some of the things that were going on in that intro?
There's kind of no hint of what the tune is.
Right.
As in, what the first two notes are going to be, so that there's no, like, thing in my head where I know what the first, where I can pick out the first note. Yeah, well, I don't know
what the song is. Right, right. Okay. Brilliant. How about when we get to the end of the first, let's see if you can try singing it. So, let the skies declare your glory, sing with me, let the land and seas rejoice. Okay, that's right, yeah. So what else have I done?
It's too high.
Yeah, it's my favourite key. Yeah. It's my favourite key. Okay, so you haven't got a clue what the tune is. You don't know what you're doing. Actually, the singer is a soprano. She loves singing in that key. So let's do it for the soprano. It's not about music. Often I get that. I want to do it in this key. You go, no, we're not going to do it in that key. We're going to do it for the congregation. So what key might you do the word of You're the Word of God in? Okay, I'm going to give you in C. Oh, really?
You had it all there.
Oh, so sorry. There we go. Okay, usually this song's written in D, which is relatively high. You're hitting that note for the chorus. It's relatively high for a congregation. Might be all right if you're up for a big one, but for a smaller congregation, probably a C will do. I found I was transposing a lot of the songs during lockdown, because when you're singing at home, we had two teenage boys, just didn't work, so we transposed them all down. Okay, so we're looking at getting an intro for You're the Word of God the Father. And this is what I might do on the piano, and I'll just do the chorus. And the good thing about the chorus is that it has the tune kind of included in it, I think. Okay, yeah, okay, Okay, so I'll probably do that. Actually, people know the song well enough, I think. You're the Word of God the Father. So the chorus works quite well. How is the congregation going to know when to come in? Well, a couple of things. You can do, you can use volume. So I'm going to get to the end of the intro and I'm going to use volume. Okay, that's right. So I'm driving it with a volume. You can use volume. You can also use register. So I'm going to go up the piano and then come down. So. That's right, so I'm taking it away up the top to the top of the piano, then I'm coming down. So I was using register and volume there. What else could you use? There are all sorts of things you could use. The other thing you can use is texture. So at the moment it's quite busy. Like that's quite busy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the texture out of it, and the guitar would do this as well. You're going to hang on the penultimate, on the last chord, so that, something's changed. It's partly waking the congregation up to say, don't sing now, but you're just about to sing. So here we go. So I've taken the wind out, I've taken all the texture out, and off I go. Campbell, how would you do it on a guitar?
So if we're going to do the chorus then.
Yeah.
I would probably, because you can't, a lot of the things that you just did on the piano you can't do on the guitar, I'd be more likely to rely on the hanging chord, and possibly the body, but mostly the hanging chord, so something like...
Okay. Give us that again.
Here's the thing, you don't need a professional music.
Yeah, okay.
A little sort of two bar thing to do a kind of non-busy chord, maybe just one at the start and a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
Make it clear that that's the sort of break in the tempo.
Cool. Have you got your capo? Do you want your capo?
I've got the
camera. You've got a camera, yeah. Fantastic. Other things you can use, if you've got a singer is, you can do all sorts of things. So, here we go, it's just on. Don't worry, it's not on. Hello, yep. Great, so if you give us that again, then a singer, if you're holding a mic, it's best to hold a mic if you're a singer. And I know it might feel terribly uncomfortable, but the other thing with these mics as well, they are, you all know this, I'm sure, they're directional. So down here, you don't pick up a lot. Out here, it's pretty useless. You need to be about a centimeter away, and then all of a sudden, you can hear it really clearly. So almost a finger away, and it feels really intrusive, but at least it's clear. So a singer can just drop the mic while they're not singing and look relatively uninterested. And then with just before you're about to come in, you can use your eyes. You can use your eyes. You can use your mic, bring the mic up, and then you can use your breath like that. So there are a few things you can use, all sorts of cues you can use. So let's see if we can try that.
I should also say, if you've got the singer doing that, sometimes on the guitar I do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
great.
Can use the stem of the guitar.
So do you always recommend taking the mic off, so you hold it?
Well, yes, because then when you're looking around the congregation, you take the mic with you. Whereas here, you're stuck. Yeah, around here you can't. You're out of range. You're out of range, and then all of a sudden you're in range, and then you're out of range again. Whereas here, you hold the mic and you sing over there, you sing over there, you sing over here. So that you're always picking up the voice. Okay.
So I just do the last line?
Yeah.
Because there are some singers, like who are
habits of my eyesight. I hold music rather than having a music stand often, and so that the mic's always there rather than holding the mic. Mm-hmm. And I have a shaky hand as well, but I actually think holding the mic would, because it makes it more difficult. And
you're
also
right,
between
another great verbal, it's another great visual cue, isn't
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to look for that. And also like the head rising, just like how I'm going to sing. Yeah.
But
okay.
I appreciate how Christian Stewart Lewis has stooped down when he's dancing.
Okay, so give us a... You're the one. Okay, in you go. So yeah, bit of a breath. In you go.
So if we haven't got a guitar, we have got a piano.
Yep.
Would you, as the singer, have your back to the piano and just back yourself to know when you're coming in, or would you be sort of waiting for
you? Oh yeah. Sometimes singers are different. Some are more confident. They'll hear. They will have practiced the intro so often they know when to come in. Others would just look around. You're the word, and they'll do that. That's okay. Getting a cue from, what's that? You get a bit of a nod. Yeah, that's right. You can get a bit of a piano can nod, pianist can nod as well. Okay. When we get to the end of verse one, what do we miss? If I'm going to play the end of verse, the chorus of verse one, and go into verse two, and what do we miss if we go straight in? And your cry of love rings out across the land. Yet you left the gaze of angels, came to seek and say. What do you lose if you don't have anything in between? Okay. Yeah. Okay, you need a bit of a breather.
A bit of texture.
Right. What do you mean? Yeah.
It
okay.
Might not help me think about the next little words.
Okay, and what are the next words? What are they like?
Incarnation.
Yeah.
Jesus, humility.
Anguish of the cross.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a slightly different feel, isn't it? Musically, you can change the direction of a song and its feel by playing quieter, by playing in a different register. And it's quite hard to do that when you're coming straight out of a chorus and then straight into the next verse. So here's a classic example where it's great to have a little bit of a break in between the verses. And as Tom says, we just need to breathe and let it sink in. And then, okay, let's start again. Yet you left the gaze of angels. So what are you going to do? What you need to do is, it's going to sound very strange, but you need to scare the congregation away from coming in straight away, which might sound a bit weird. So you don't want them to come in straight away. You left the gaze of angels. How are you going to do that? Well, there are a number of ways you can scare the congregation away. And if you're on a piano, you can use the if you're in C, the most scary note is a B. Okay, and that no one wants to sing on the top of that. Next scary note is a D, the second. So either the second or the seventh. So I'll use that to kind of scare the congregation away. So don't come in now. We're just going to have a bit of a break, and then you've got a bit of time to think about taking the volume down so you're ready to verse two. So here's the end of verse one now, and I'll scare the congregation away. See when you know when to come in. And your cry of love rings out across the land. Yet you left. Okay, that's right. So, see what I'm doing? I just lightly. Please don't sing now. But now you're set to go. And then you've got time to take the volume down. And similarly, at the end of verse two. Well, you've got to shout to Rose Victorious, and your cry of love rings out across the land. With a shout, you rose, and in you go. So they are going to be using register. I didn't use texture as much there. Register, volume, and that's that kind of scaring away tactic. Great. How would you do that? How would you scare people away from not coming in? So you want to do extra couple of bars at the end of the chorus?
Yeah, I mean, probably just doing. You have to rely quite heavily on doing quite open chords. I think if the guitar is not really playing, it's only playing on the first bar, then people feel not confident about coming in. Whereas if you're strumming away merrily, so you know, if the whole way time I'm going.
Right, yeah.
But it's nice and confident when you're actually leading then into the, you know, da da da, it actually leads you then into the verse itself. And I might, the one thing you can do with the guitar, which I mentioned before, which you can't do with the piano, is you can use your body language a little bit as well. So you can sort of actually physically do something to go and make it clear when people will come in.
Yeah, that's it. You can be really demonstrative with a guitar. You've got face, you've got hands, you've got everything going. It's brilliant. It's great. I wish I could play the guitar. It's so good. You know, here you kind of start. But, yeah, it's excellent.
You could get a keytar. Have you seen? Just a suggestion. Church budget scripture.
Okay. One thing else I want to do with this. If you can nail your intro. What I want to do is I'm going to do an intro with Campbell now, right? Okay, and I want you to come in and sing with us. Sing big. Okay, it's a big song. You're the Word of God the Father. Sing us big, and then Campbell, can you demonstrate this? Once you're playing, once the intro's done, you've smashed the intro. Then really, it doesn't matter what you play after that. It really doesn't matter. It's all about the rhythm. So once we come into verse one and people are singing, can you just play an open C, an open C for the whole verse?
Do you want me to say something about the kind of keys that we voiced the guitar in at this point? Because that works particularly well if you use certain keys. Or should I?
Let's do that. Can we do this and then tell us about the keys? That'd be great. Okay, so we're going to get that. And Campbell, he's just going to play a C chord all the way through actually probably go all the way through the chorus. So let's sing well, if you know when to come in. And then if we've given you a confident chorus, a confident intro, and we're singing well, why don't actually, who can sing? Emma, do you want to sing? Can you sing? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that all right? So if you take a mic, if you take a mic, that's right. All right, so. And Campbell, if you play relatively quietly but confidently, one of the reasons I got Campbell in today is he plays confidently. He drives the guitar really well. You know where you are. So he's going to be strumming away on an open C once we've done the intro and see how much difference it makes. Here we go. So here's the intro. One, two. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. You're the author of creation, the Lord of every man, and your cry of love resounds. Excellent. So, I mean, he could have played any chord really, but don't sweat. Once you're in the song, people are not worried about what you're. They're worried about singing the truth about Jesus. That is great. You sang well, and we didn't really care. But we had that strumming going. You just heard the drive going through the song, and that's what gives confidence. It's the drive through the song. It's the rhythm, rather than the actual notes you're playing. Emma's got the tune. You've got the tune. and that's all right. Underneath, it's the rhythm that it's all about. I could have given more down in the bass, but that's the main thing.
But you're not saying we need to play one chord, you're saying just to prove the point that
that was just yeah that's right, it was just an overstatement of the point. Yeah, great.
How do you achieve that? So if you don't have a guitar,
don't
how do you achieve
that?
Oh, I could do it on the piano. Let's do it.
I
could do it on the piano.
We often just don't have that piano. We don't have the guitar.
Yeah.
So it's kind of working out how to drive. That's probably one of our
main. Okay. So we can do it on the piano as well. So let's go straight in and things out across the land. Catherine's not singing, otherwise everyone knows to sing. All right, but other than that, yeah, that's right. So what I was driving in the bass there, the rhythm is always controlled by your bass and the piano. If you give a load of solid bass, you are basically like a bass guitar on the piano. Do you notice what I wasn't playing? Anyone notice what I wasn't playing? I wasn't playing the tune. Why don't I need to do the tune? The singer's doing the tune, that's right. Because it's about the rhythm, I'm doing the chords. And I'll do that in the quiet verse as well. Yet you left the gaze of to seek and save the lost. So I always encourage guitarists, pianists and drummers as well to practice with a metronome so it's absolutely rock solid. Again, it's about confidence for the congregation, clarity and confidence for the congregation. And also the PA guys as well, if there's good bass coming through, that helps a huge amount, because in a church, if you've got a bass guitar, you can put the bass amp anywhere and it goes through the whole building. And that's the same with a piano as well. If you've got good bass coming through, it'll go through the building. It just needs to be well up in the mix so that you've got that undergirding strength underneath. Great, brilliant. It'd be nice to get someone playing, really, wouldn't it? Lucy, do you want to go?
I don't actually play.
Oh, you don't play? Catherine, do you want to go, we're going to go on to this quite nice song. Do you know the Ancient of Days?
I do.
Oh, you don't do this one. Okay, don't worry. You don't know. Oh, don't worry. We'll have a look at it in a bit. Okay, so did you know this song though? Do you play it in D, C? Doesn't matter.
Play it in whatever you place.
Oh, let's keep it in C then. Okay. So, what's that?
Are we sticking on the word of God, or
I think that's it. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, and you work off chord charts. You work off chord charts as well? Are you happy with chord charts? That's great. Brilliant. Okay, so can you give us? Why don't you? Have a think about an intro, what you want to do for an intro. You don't have to do what I just did, but have a think what you want to do for an intro, how you want to play with Campbell. Actually, while you're thinking, Campbell, can you tell us about your guitar thing and your chords?
Yeah. How many people play the guitar
It's Catherine.
Well, if you're leading the band, I think this is also useful to know as well. So we basically, for the non-guitarists, you're limited by the way the guitar is tuned to playing in certain keys, and then beyond that you have to stick a cap on to move it up and down the fretboard. But I pretty much only ever play in G or C, and of those my preference is G. And part of the reason for that is what we illustrated on the last song, which is, well, for a start the chords are very easy to change, but also if you're playing in G with particular voicings, then the top strings pretty much stay the same the whole way. So if you make mistakes, nobody notices. And if you're playing with people who are less confident, then this is really, really useful if you can get everything to be capoed into G. C is a little... I do much the same thing, but I put so the F chord, this won't mean much to the non-guitarist, but the tele-guitarist here with the other. I keep my little finger on the whole time on the top as well, for the same reason. So that you've got a kind of, a, you know, a safety net in a sense, and then if you mess something up, it's really not very useful at all. Whereas if you're playing in D, changing happening there. There's far more scope for making mistakes. So the reason that Simpo's thing that we just did worked particularly well was because it was voiced in G. So if you're leading the group and you've got a guitarist, if wherever possible, get them to capo it up into either C or particularly G. That's my top tip for guitarists.
Especially
if you have a song in F.
I like.
It's fine because you just capo C up to the F.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Brilliant. It's such a clean noise, this. If you play now, it's a lot less open.
Oh, and the other thing is if you capo things higher up the fretboard, it's playing in the higher register, which doesn't compete as much with the piano.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Great. And that is it. So, Campbell, you talked about competing there. What do you mean?
Oh, just if you're both playing in, so the piano will tend to play in the middle of the keyboard, in the middle register, and if the guitar is also playing in that sort of register, then there's just quite a lot of overlap of notes, and it can sound a little muddy sometimes, whereas if the guitar is playing higher up the fretboard, you're less likely to be sort of hitting the same notes, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so if piano's in the middle, you're kind of up high.
Yes.
And so what would you like Catherine to do?
Well, I mean, in this scenario, is she the one leading the...
Okay, let's say it's you leading. You're leading the song. What are you going to tell Catherine to do?
Well, if I'm sort of trying to drive the song on the guitar and I'm the one leading, then I want especially for a song like this, I'm probably going to put quite a strong rhythm in, which means that I probably want the piano to play quite simply in the middle and maybe provide the odd sort of frill here and there in the links and things like that, but fairly simply and with kind of the way you were playing the chords earlier,
right.
Simpo, where you're giving sort of strong leads on the kind of key beats of the bar, but you're not doing like lots of arpeggios that might get in the way, because then if I'm doing a sort of a... If we're both doing that, then it's going to sound awful, but if the piano's sort of going and keeping it quite sort of structured, then they won't be competing quite as much.
That's great. That's really, so important for pianists. Yeah, we are now percussion instruments. We're filling the sound and just keeping the drive going.
Conversely, if it was the other way around and the piano was trying to lead a lot more, then I probably wouldn't be doing that kind of driving thing as much. I'd be doing much more of the sort of a...
Cool.
Something a bit more lyrical, so that the piano's got space.
So you're basically saying whichever instrument is leading needs to give the rhythm.
That's it,
Well, it doesn't necessarily need to give the rhythm. Like, you could still get the guitar to give the rhythm in a setting like that, but if both of them are being very busy, then it sounds very muddy. That's the key thing. So I can still, even if I'm playing simply, I can still do a sort of a...
Yeah.
That's still providing quite a bit of rhythm, but it's providing space as well.
Yeah. So clarity, simplicity, isn't it? It's just making it clean. Okay, and what would you want Catherine to do bass-wise? Because you're quite high up, so...
Yeah, so the piano is doing all the bass work.
Okay, that's the other thing. So, octaves in the bass, Catherine, go lower, I think. Yeah, that's it, So you're almost like a bass guitar. Left hand is, but I'm always playing octaves in the bass just to give that undergirding strength underneath. And then trying to keep out of the way of the guitarist, just chords in the right hand. Okay, brilliant. Do you want to lead in?
Yeah, there's one other thing, just while we're talking about the not competing thing, another kind of guitar texture that I'll sometimes do so as to provide a lot of rhythm, but not get in the way of the melodic stuff the guitar is, the piano is using, is to use a kind of a palm mute, which is worth getting your guitarist to practice, because it's not that difficult if you haven't practiced it, for a bit of practice, where you sort of lay your palm along the bottom, and then you can do a kind of a... And the more you mute it, the less it's getting in the way of any melodic stuff that's happening at the same time. So that's the other way that you can get that sort of texture.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Great. Can you do an intro? And then Catherine, if you can give us first one with Cam, try and keep out of his way. That's good.
So for the intro, can you do doo-doo? Because then that would leave me in as
yeah.
well. Stop playing now, Catherine. Okay, that's yeah, brilliant. Okay, so what comments on how that sounded?
Can't massively hear the camera.
Right. No.
Sort of mainly hear guitar.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's why I told Catherine to stop playing, because actually we could hear a lot of guitar, less piano, but actually it was nice and clean when we just could hear the guitar. So I wonder if Catherine, can you give us more in the bass down at the bottom? Actually, press in a bit harder. Boom. Give us a little bit more. That's why sleeves go. And maybe bring the right hand up, because we have got quite a lot in the middle now. You were quite, in a sense, it was getting quite muddy with the piano and the guitar going at the same time. So bass in the bottom, and then right hand a little up the top. Once you've done the intro, just a little colours every now and then in the right hand, and again. Okay, that's right. Yeah, cool. Okay, stop there. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's great. I mean, we probably don't need as much in the right hand, and probably a little less busy in the right hand. But that's nice. At least we got a range across the tonalities. It's nice having the bass coming through a little bit more. Just so at the end of the intro, what do we think about that?
I think quite a bit to stop.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cam, well, you hung. Catherine, you kept going on, didn't you, a little bit? So do you know what I mean by hung? So if you can give the end of the intro. That's right. So change the rhythm so that all of a sudden, oh great, oh it's changed, oh just about to come in.
So I'm hanging on the first chord of the bar.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
That's, as we were saying before, that's
brilliant.
Pretty much all you can do on the guitar to show that you're about to come into
the
body language.
Okay.
Whereas on the piano you can do more.
Okay. So as Cam was leading, let's let when we get to that penultimate that C at F, if you just hang on those two chords, that'd be great. Could we try that? See if that makes it clearer. F. You're the one. Was that better?
Yeah.
Cool. A little better. Okay. Those are the sort of things to work on. We haven't got time. We're not going to nail it today. But those are the sort of things. And again, yeah, if you nail your intro, then. Catherine, you play whatever you like after that. They'll carry on singing. How are we doing for time? We're doing, yeah, not too badly. Does anyone else want to have a go at playing? Piano, sing, or anything like that? Do you want to do a little box? Catherine, can I come back on as well? Thanks so much, that's great. That's really nice. That's really nice. Oh, that's good.
We can see how to do it when you're not very capable.
Okay, are you using the music?
That might be easier, but then no, that's fine. I see what you mean.
You can use the music. Campbell can play in D.
Is it, so if it's in C though, is it just...
Yeah.
I can gap it up into D.
Yeah, do you mind D? Is that right?
Yeah.
Then I might have a possibility of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this chat. If you can give us an intro. Oh, you can sing, Susie. That's great. If you can do the same thing, and again, actually, it's probably better if you're just doing chords.
Yeah, I'm literally.
Are you following? But your best thing to do is follow these boys at the top.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
I may abandon it.
Oh no! Don't worry.
Let's have a go.
Don't worry. First of all, Susie was massively confident when to come in there. Let's talk about the cajon for a little bit. So that sounded nice. It was tidy. It was tight and it was rhythmical. How could Tom have helped us at the end of the intro to know when to come in?
Cut out.
What?
Pare it down.
Yep. Cut out. Yeah. Again, just I can't play the cajon, but again, it's just stopping. Actually, Campbell, like, if you follow Campbell's rhythm, can you give us the intro without a piano for the moment? And look what... Okay. Okay, so yeah, basically it's what...
It feels to me like we should have another... Well, it's a slightly confusing chorus because it ends with a sort of natural hang. It's off to a happy idea, and then you want to add it.
Oh, you want an extra one? Well, how are you going to do that? This is where you scare them off. So, can I just nip on? That's right. So, okay, let's do the extra couple of bars. And this time, can you hang with Campbell? Is that all right?
Yep.
So I'm going to scare you guys off. Let's keep it in D for the moment. And again. How did that feel? Was it better?
I don't know how to stop.
Oh, you don't know how to stop. You did quite well there. No, it's all right. It sounded like you stopped. You just stopped playing. Yeah, so it's on that you stop on the one. Two. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Don't worry about just stopping. It's actually fine.
It's the same as on the guitar.
Okay.
Sitting on the first bar and then adding in the
quavers
leading into the next one.
Okay, can we do the end of the intro again? Okay, that's good. That's the sort of thing. That's great. How can we help Susie?
Sorry.
How can we help Susie? Where was your mic? So pick up your mic. No. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Oh, we can hear you now.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
I think it was actually on mute.
I basically
had that. All right, okay.
I did come in at the right time.
Okay, once more. One, two. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, fantastic. That's brilliant, brilliant. We all stopped. We're all ready. There's that breathing space. Susie looked up. You smashed it. But the only thing is, you were looking at us then. You want to look out there. Look at us. Brilliant. And once more, this is it. This is, you practice your intros, and once we're doing the rest of the song, nobody cares. So just get your intro sorted. And again, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I was overdoing the scaring them off there. But yeah, that's good. But yeah, that's great. Fantastic. Did you know when to come in?
Yeah. It just feels like, oh, the music stopped for some reason. I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. We want people to go, right, okay, it's time to go. So that's okay. I'm not worried if you feel uncomfortable. That's exactly. it was in tune. It was it was a confident lead. And that's exactly what you want. There'll be some people thinking, oh, I didn't like that C sharp. And that's okay as well, because the main thing is the congregation, not what we feel, but actually the congregation coming in together. It's a theological thing that the congregation comes in together because we're about word ministry together, about singing together. It's the reason why the PA is so important as well, is so that we're singing together, the word ministry is happening together. And we can hear, and hear really clearly. So don't worry, there are all sorts of things we don't like. But as long as if it's a clear intro, we're laughing. Great, brilliant. We need to stop, don't we? Can we talk about just how we work with the PA guys as well? It's so important that we work well with those working on the PA stuff. Just like I was saying, we're involved in word ministry together. And how they work with us is as important as how we work with them, and talking to them and making sure that they're happy, that we're happy, that you have some monitors here, which is great. Do you do sound checks at the start of rehearsals?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, what happens is we do initial sound checks about the time they start rehearsing, and then we leave the monitors on and everything while they roll through all their songs, and if there's a problem or if they want those turned up, then we're informed and we turn up as they do. So it's like an adjustment throughout the rehearsal.
Yeah. Just one thing, when you're rehearsing, actually PA guys, if you tell the musicians to sing as if they're leading the congregation at that point, because what happens then if everyone sings a little less confidently, because it's more exposed when the room's empty, so people tend to sing within themselves a little bit. And then the congregation comes in, all of a sudden, great, it's time to go, woohoo! And then all of a sudden the levels are going all over the shop. So, you know, seeing as if you're leading the congregation in the rehearsal, and that helps the PA guys not have to make sudden adjustments. They have to make some adjustments because the sound will be slightly deader when people are in the building, and the acoustics are different. But if we can help them as much as we can on that. And always say thank you, honestly say thank you to the PA guys for being there. They'll be there early to help you. They'll be part of the rehearsal, and they'll be instrumental in making sure that all the instruments and vocals are really well heard during the service as well. So thank them.
About the mics. I think if we're going to be taking the mics off the stands, try to take them off before any note is played, and put them on after the notes stop. So you will all be muted by the time whoever's leading starts speaking again, right? And usually it's time, well enough that, the guy, usually they start speaking right as the piano is about to turn off a bit. For safety, you just don't put it back until the piano stops.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
That way you guys will all be muted, it will not cause a weird crash.
Yeah,
and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
the singers will be have their backs turned, or like they'll be communing with each other. Like it's really important to get the mix right before people get in the room, and it's hard to hear. You know, so yeah, make sure you're singing into the mic during rehearsal. That's really helpful for the sound people.
That's good. Anything you PA guys want to say to musos?
Not really. I mean, sing into the mic. That's literally it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's usually we work quite well. So, yeah.
I'd say one thing is that it's quite difficult to communicate if you're at the back of the room having a conversation with someone else. It's quite difficult to shout. Say, if when you could sort of be somewhere we can easily speak to you, that'd be really helpful.
I just sometimes summon on the mic.
Yeah.
Characters in the audience.
Can you speak through the singer if you say, can you ask Harris to do this, and then off you go? That could be one thing as well.
Just in terms of if things go wrong,
yeah.
Which often, occasionally happen, is it best just to often, if something happens, we just smile, we just crack on?
Yeah.
Your advice on that?
We're a team. Yeah, you don't want to scowl at your PA guys. It's really like everyone else would be doing that anyway. So muscle on through. That's okay. And then afterwards, say, well, I'm not sure there's something went wrong in that song. Do not happen. Can we help next time? But in the moment, there's not much you can do. PA guys, you can be confident in. Like certainly if someone's speaking and something's going wrong, go up the front, swap the microphone, just waltz up to the front confidently. I know we're very self-aware, but don't worry, we're about the word going out, so go up to the front confidently, change the mic, go for it. Anything else? There's plenty other stuff we can do, but we need to finish, don't we, because it's lunchtime. Cool. Brilliant. No worries. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you very much for Jesus, His mercy. Thank you for the works of our Father that means that we belong to you and that we are loved and that we are even now in your presence and that your Holy Spirit is deeply within our hearts as a guarantee of our inheritance. Lord God, help us with that confidence to sing with real joy to you and to each other as well, to encourage each other in the truths that we know. And we pray for some of these things we've been working on in a practical sense. Help us to be those who serve as those who've been served by our Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.
Amen.